Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I am the host at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. I first want to thank my Heavenly Father for blessing me, giving me the activities of my limbs, and I also want to thank my lawyer listeners who basically follow the show. As you guys know, I don't come on as often as I used to, and that's because I be having so much stuff going on, and prednisone is blowing me up, and I'm trying not to let anybody see this until I get my sexy back or get my health back right, which is going okay, shall I say. I shall not complain. And I also want to thank my childhood friend who just called me on a Facebook, and I told her to call in on the show. So if you're out there and you want to join in on this conversation, give me a call at 516-387-1914. And I do these shows because of my passion. I do these shows as a way of remembering and honoring my mother, who passed away from breast cancer. So I do this show to be used as a vessel for the Lord in regards to letting God use me, because sometimes I don't know what to talk about. So I'll just say, you know what, Lord, what you want me to say? And yesterday it came to me with unconditional love. And partly because we talk about unconditional love, should one put conditions on love? Some people say, no, you shouldn't put conditions on love. And right when I was posting this information again at the last minute, a song was on my TikTok, and it was about a man singing to his baby, saying that I love you, I love you. And a lot of times we talk about having children, we talk about our family members, our relationships. We'll say, oh, I love you. But what do that really mean? Or if you say, I have unconditional love. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about, not just me personally, but apparently this is something that we need to discuss. Now, many of you know I am a licensed therapist, and I am also the owner of J.A. Precious, Inc. and the Center for the Treatment of Addiction. So I talk to a lot of individuals from all walks of life, whether it's doing a 52-week domestic violence program, anger management program, drug and alcohol classes, parenting classes, co-parenting classes, divorce mediation, public speaking. I do a lot of different things. However, while I'm doing these things, I run across certain situations, relationships, where I see some individuals feel stuck, trapped, and confused. And one of the things that I do, and I guess I was blessed to do this, is to try to get individuals, I tell individuals, you may not get over it, but you can get through it. And by getting through it, you learn to process things differently. We have to relearn some of the bad behaviors or some of the toxic things that we were taught, that we've seen, that we experienced, that we heard, even that we even see on television. We got to learn how to deal with these things differently. Now, with today's topic having to do with love, it's interesting because love is one of the strongest four-letter words. If you want to break a person down, tell them, I love you. Or, you know what, baby, I love you. And that just seems to just melt a person's heart. But when you tell that person that, what are you really saying to them? I was told today by an individual, they told me that that four-letter word has power, it has purpose, and it can lead and bring you so much pain. I listen to a lot of love songs. I like watching a lot of love movies. I love, you know, romance. That's one of the things that we think of when we talk about love. But is love a feeling or is love an action? Are you telling me you love me or are you showing me you love me? And when it comes to love, how do you treat the people that you say you love? Because that's where some of the confusion comes in at. My mother used to say, I beat you because I love you. That don't make no sense to me. So you go hit me and tell me you love me at the same time? Mm-mm. Because my grandmother said, you don't hurt what you love. Okay? But what about even self-love and loving yourself? A lot of individuals struggle with that, where they may want someone to love them only to not be able to reciprocate. the love or give the love back to another individual. Now, when we talk about the word love, and we think of, I think of being a kid and the little flowers, are you picking a thing, she loves me, she loves me not, she loves me, she loves me not. But what do that love me not really mean? Or is it that she's upset with me right now? I love you, but I don't like you. I tell my son sometimes, I love you, but I don't like your behavior. So that kind of leads to today's topic, which has to do with unconditional love. Because sometimes that word has a lot to do with expectations, boundaries, respect, things that are familiar. It is deep. When we say unconditional, I used to think that unconditional meant no matter what. Then I started thinking, why am I supposed to be giving this person all of this and they ain't giving me nothing in return? Or they don't deserve this. I'm not saying that people are unlovable. I learned to separate what a person do from who a person is. But by that same token, when we start talking about love, many individuals define love differently. You know, I had to tell a male friend of mine, he said, well, that's how I show love. Well, that's not how I'm going to receive it. And that's not what I'm going to accept. But Tina Turner once wrote a song, or not wrote it, so I want to misquote, but she sung the song, What Love Got to Do with It? And when I think of Tina Turner, I think of Ike Turner. Was Ike really in love with Tina? We don't know. Maybe Ike had some underlying issues going on, which led to his behavior, the way he was doing, treating people. But when she sung that song, What Love Got to Do with It, and she said love is a secondhand emotion, I said, ooh, that's deep. You know, love is something that people play with. Love is something that people toy with. Love is something that people manipulate people with. I was like, wow, that is deep. I got a phone call coming in. We say, what love got to do with it? Now, in addition to that, not only does love have purpose, it can lead to pain, headache, heartache. You know, there was a song, How Do You Mend a Broken Heart? When people fall in love, I love watching the movie Love Jones, Boomerang, and all these movies that I watch, people just thought that they were in love, but they dealt with so much drama, so much chaos. So is that really love? Or if people are enduring that, is that what they're supposed to endure to show that they have unconditional love? So when individuals say that they are looking for love, question is, are you ready to give love back? Do you know how to receive it, accept it like a compliment? Others may struggle with being loved by another, and some people struggle with loving themselves. So today I invite you and I challenge you to think about the word love and it being unconditional, and what does that mean to you? When we talk about love for family, love for our church members, love for our community, love for our work, what do that really mean to you? So to join in on the conversation, give me a call at 516-387-1914. You know, Michael Jackson said it best when they would say, I love you, he said, I love you more. What's that supposed to mean, I love you more? How do you even measure how much or how do you love another person? So again, to join in on a conversation, give me a call at 516-387-1914 because I do want to hear your thoughts. You can even, like I say, click on Facebook, join in, merge in. Now, when we talk about unconditional, which is the thing, when we talk about love, what about respect? I used to tell individuals, and people know my mother had three girls. All three of us have different personalities. We all got a lot of my mother's in us. But my thing was, you go respect me. One of my sisters was looking for love, and the other one was looking for money. So we all had our own little thing of how we define love. We talk about love language. That's the new buzzword that most individuals use, meaning, what is your love language? Is it an act of service? Is it words of affirmation? Is it physical touch? Is it gifts, you know, receiving gifts? So a lot of times, you know, people show love differently. My mother's thing was, I show I love you by keeping a roof over your head, food for you to eat, clothes on your back. But what about the emotional aspect of it? You know, so if I was to go say, well, you don't show you love me, I learned, and I had a real in-depth conversation with my uncle the other week, a couple of days ago. He brought a lot of things to light about how my family viewed love, what unconditional love looked like in my family. I was like, oh, my God, we all messed up. That ain't really what love's supposed to be. But it made a lot of sense, and I thank him for the conversation that we had because it brought some things to light that I'm not going to say I thought about or was concerned about, because many of you know my mother transitioned 16 years ago, but it made sense. It made a lot of sense to me to why she reacted and responded the way she did with some things. Now, unconditional love, by definition, is a type of love that is limitless. And I think that's where we get confused and some people take it for granted, because we like to put limits. Well, you don't love me. If you love me, you do this. If you love me, you do that. Now, I'm sitting here now giving my carpet clean, house cleaned up, everything. But is that love? Questionable. I'm going to leave it like that. Very questionable. So when we start talking about these types of love being limitless, unchanging, do I have the right to change my mind if I don't like something that the person is doing? Yeah. And selfless. That is huge because a lot of individuals are selfish and yet they'll say, but you know I love you. Let me log on a caller. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm okay, Jeanette. How you do?
You know what? I'm doing better today right now. I still got a whole lot to do, and like I was saying, I've been trying not to be seen because I need to get my hair done, my face blowing all up. You know, and people say, well, you don't love yourself no more. You letting yourself go. That ain't it. I'm trying not to deal with pain. And I'm tired of looking at it. So we talk about love and unconditional love. And, you know, not only, and I don't want to say culturally. I don't even want to say dealing with certain individuals in age brackets, because when we talk about love, how did you learn about that? Because I had so many distorted views when it came to love. I to this day, I tell individuals, I didn't know how to let a person love me in a relationship until I got in my 50s. I had never really knew what, because everything that I saw was contradictive of and questionable of if a person even cared, but yet they'll say, you know I love you. But if that's the case, I don't want your love. What's your take on that, Mr. Ed, when it comes to love and unconditional love?
Well, unconditional love is something that there's different perspectives. I mean, some people might see it as that no matter what, you know, the love is going to be there. You got other people that see it like it's only that way if you do everything that I want you to do.
Correct.
And
you know what? I want to go back to what you just said. I want to go back to what you said because I want to make sure we keep the show rolling. No matter what, the love is going to be there. That is a problem. And it's a problem because that could be why some people take people and things for granted, because, like, I learned today when a person said to me that love has power, has purpose, and can lead to pain. That was huge. Because if I think that the love is going to always be there, that gives me, like, to play in a Monopoly game to get out of jail free. I can go do whatever I want. I can say what I want. And you're supposed to love me no matter what. But now I'm feeling disrespected. You're not being honest. There's no balance. It's a one-sided relationship because I thought it was unconditional. No, it don't work like that. Even with parenting, people say, oh, I love my kids no matter what. We were taught and we were supposed to say that. You know, that kind of goes with the program. But I know that there are some parents that really don't know how to love their children. They don't know how to bond with their children. They're not maternal. Well, yet we throw that word out there like everything is just going to be peaches and cream. But I said, I love you. I had a person I had to tell them once before about an actor. He said, well, that's my type of love. So I'm doing a show right now. Hello? Can you hear me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Can you wait, like, until I get off the air so I won't have the background noise? Thank you. I appreciate what you're doing, but thank you. Okay. Love can be used to manipulate. Love can be used to control. And love can be confusing. What about the confusing part with love?
What do I think about it?
That's my question, Mr. Ed.
Oh, okay. The confusing world. Love is very confusing by nature. It's very contradictory at times. It's very complicated. But as far as that kind of situation, like unconditional thing, like I said, some people's perspective is just different. Some people think that unconditional means that, you know, regardless, like you just said, no matter what. And you got other people who think that it's unconditional if.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
But part of it is relationship and being relational, because there's different types of relationship. You got parent-child relationships. When they're kids, you got adult-parent relationships. You got people that are dating, people that are courting, people that are married to each other. There are people that get married and don't even love each other, don't even like each other. You know, sometimes it's gunshot weddings. But then when we get married, we think it's unconditional. But when we start talking about that, like I said, it's a type of love, and it's by definition, that is limitless, unchanging, and selfless. And it's sometimes called compassionate love or the agape love. It is love that is offered without conditions or expectations or repayment. That's fine and dandy. But if it's not reciprocated, or if the person is being disrespected, or the person is being belittled or berated, does that mean that they still supposed to be like, well, I love you unconditionally and accept it, the behavior? That's where things can become a challenge. Now, it says, instead, it is love that is based on wanting the person to be happy. Now, that's deep. Because a lot of times when we think of unconditional, that means no matter what I do, you're supposed to still love me. Well, I may not like what you just did. Don't mean that I don't love you, but I'm going to still address the behavior. You're not going to get away with it. Now, I want to share this.
When you think about it, even in the scriptures, you know, when it talks about loving, you know, have you seen in the Bible scriptures where it talked about liking somebody? It only talks about love, right? It don't talk about like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The scripture says, you know, husbands love your wives.
Like the God of church.
But there's nowhere in there it says you got to like her.
but here's the thing.
As far as liking, because love is one thing, like is another thing. So you can just like the same thing like what you said earlier about the kids. You can love your kids, but there's a lot of times you don't like them.
Correct, and I agree with that. But this is my perspective, and I'm not saying everybody's perspective. That's why I got an open forum, because when we talk about our children, sometimes we feel like no matter what, they're ours. They're a product of us, and we got to deal with that. But when you're talking about a relationship, when you have kids, your love is not based on I like you. It means I gave birth to you, I got a responsibility, I got a duty and an obligation to do my best to try to raise you to the best that I can and take care of you. Now, in a relationship, the relationship start off by I like you, I'm attracted to you, I want to get to know you. You don't just meet a person on the street and say, oh, I just love you, can we go get married? Uh-uh. That's a like. And then it goes into a love. And sometimes we get the lust, and then we'll say, I love them, but we don't even know them. When I sent you that thing that I saw, and the lady wanted that man to marry her, she had the ring. She was all mentally and emotionally unstable. That man was looking at her like, if I'm going to do this, let me buy my own ring. Let me. But her thing was, I've been with you all these years, and all she wanted was a husband, it sounded like. Somebody to accept her. But that was not love. And the judge had to tell her that. Because sometimes we or other people may see what you don't see. And even when we start talking about loving people properly, now, I'm looking at something, and it says unconditional love is characterized by acceptance, accepting the other person for who they are without trying to change them. I'll tell people this, and Maya Angelou said, when a person show you who they are, tell you who they are, please believe them. I'm good with that as long as I know what I'm dealing with, but that don't mean I got it. That don't mean I got to deal with it. So if a person tell me that they're a certain way, show me they're a certain way, act accordingly, and it all adds up, I'm not trying to change you. But I don't have to deal with all of that on that level. So we talk about acceptance. Unconditional love is also characterized by no strings attached. Loving someone without any concern of how it may benefit you. Now, that is huge because most individuals are looking for what they can get or what's in it for them. And that's when a dating relationship comes about. Well, what they got, what you got, what can you offer? And that's why people say, well, what can you bring to the table? Or what are you bringing to the table? So we start talking about the benefits, but no one wants to continue to deposit if you're not getting a withdrawal. That's not love. Also, unconditional love is characterized by no expectations of repayment, not expecting the other person to repay you. That's fine and dandy. But nowadays, we got to be careful with people that are takers, that are narcissistic. Now, some examples of unconditional love include the love a parent has for a child. Talked about that. Agape love, which is what you were talking about in regards to, in which the word used to describe God love for humanity. That's what that was about, the love for humanity. Even though when we start talking about, you know, marriages and love your wife and honor your parents and all of that, you got people that don't even like their parents. Then we got romantic love. Now, unconditional love is also known as affection without limitations. True autism, and unconditional positive regards. So it means a lot of things to a lot of different people, but it is also a word that is also misinterpreted, misunderstood, taken advantage of, and used for other people's benefit. And that's what we need to be mindful of, especially when we're talking about relationships. Because some individuals will say, well, that's my husband. I love him unconditionally, but he don't love you back. I was watching the movie, and I don't know if you've seen it, with the lady who was, now I can't think of a woman's name. She was in the beauty, doing hair, and MJ Walker. You know what movie I'm talking about? I can't even think of the man's name that was playing in the movie. He would have, and he played in a lot of other movies that I like. But the movie was really interesting because it was a young lady that was on a grind to become this millionaire. She was selling this hair grease, and there was a lady that was jealous of her and her husband. But it seemed like her husband had unconditional love for her, But her husband struggled with the fact that whenever she would say, she wouldn't say our business, she would say my business. Every time he didn't feel included. When you love someone or they feel loved, they feel included. They feel accepted. They feel respected. But a lot of times in relationships, that ain't what they always getting. But they'll say, I love them unconditionally. I'm not leaving them. And I've seen some people even in therapy. They might leave you. Then what? And then they hurt. So I have a question for you, Mr. Ayer. How do you know, or how do you, thanks for how do you know, because sometimes people can play games. But what are some of the signs that you know or you believe that shows you that a person may love you or care for you?
That may or may not.
That may. That you looking at this and you say, you know what, well, maybe they do love me. Maybe they are considerate of my feelings. Maybe they are taking me into consideration. You know what? Maybe this person is even capable of loving me. Because some people got it. Some people got issues to where they don't, if a person is like a person to say, how can I love you and I don't even love myself? That's true. Because you got individuals in relationships that the relationship is so unhealthy and so toxic, they can't even love themselves. But yet they'll say they got unconditional love for another person. That could be toxic love. So my question to you was, how would you know, or what are some of the signs that you would say, well, maybe this person do love me. Maybe I'm safe.
Well, what would make me think that would be their sincerity, you know, as far as in relation to me, you know, their true empathy or concern. Their selflessness towards me, things of that nature. Because when I was younger, I used to just assume that somebody loved me. And then later on to realize or find out that they really didn't, because I was basically just, you know, a meal ticket for them. But before that, I really actually thought for a minute that they actually, you know, cared about me. And then, of course, once the thing didn't last, then you look back on stuff and you realize certain stuff and you say to yourself, you know, that person really didn't love me, you know. So now at my age now, I see things a whole lot different than I did 40 years ago, you know, even 20 years ago. And so I would be able to recognize that much better. That's if I was to see it.
And you know what? That's interesting, because it's like a person say knowledge versus wisdom. You don't want to walk around and test people. You got people old in their 50s and 60s testing people to see if that person loved them or not. No, that's dangerous. That's immature. So when we start talking about, we look at things differently. You know, I can't even say that. My thing is, people would show, because we talk about love language, they would be like, well, let me go take a different something to eat. Let me go. And I'd be like, now I'd be like, oh, you just trying to make me fat. You just trying to stuff me with all this food. Because you figure that's what I like. You know, I'm sitting up here, that person come in and give me a damn honey bun. I'm going to eat the hell out of this honey bun, but Lord knows I don't need no honey bun. So a lot of times we question, and I'm thinking of the song, is it love, is it love, is it love? Because people start singing about it. They start talking about it. They start writing about it. They make movies about it. Because we're still confused as to, you love me not. Because some people do go towards people that they think is a meal ticket. Some people do look at, what am I going to get out of it? Or what are the benefits for me? Some people do, when we talk about biblically being unequally yoked. You know, can a person love if they are traumatized or haven't gotten over a relationship? I had a conversation and I had to tell a person the other day, don't compare your new relationship to your old relationship, because that's not fair to the other person. Because some individuals are so busy thinking that people are trying to trick them or take from them or take advantage of them, to sometimes you may sabotage what could have been a loving, meaningful relationship where there was purpose, but you were playing games and was calling it love. That ain't how you show your love.
That happens a lot. I mean, you have a lot of people that, like you said, poisons the relationship, you know, so to speak, because they're, especially when they say stuff, you know, they speak stuff into existence. They'll say stuff like, well, you know, you're doing just like my ex used to do kind of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and basically you're speaking negative into your new relationship, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it don't last, and then you'll be like, yeah, I knew it, you know. But the thing was, you spoke it up, you know.
Here's the thing I want to say, sorry, because that meant the end, and I've heard it said like this. I would say it depends on how it comes up in a conversation. If I'm having a conversation with you and you tell me, you know, Jeanette, you're doing just like my ex-wife, you I'm not going to receive that in a positive way. But if you and I are having a conversation and you say, you know, Jeanette, my ex-wife, Lord, it used to drive me crazy when I'd be going to look for her and she at the casino or she da-da-da-da-da or da-da-da-da. Then you're giving me information. There's a difference in giving me information about or sharing about something that happened to you for purpose of learning versus you trying to compare me, berate me. So you hear the difference? And a lot of times, when we talk about communication and communicating in regards to how we show love, we have to take that into consideration of our deliverance of love. I shouldn't try to hurt you and then turn around and tell you I love you because now I'm confused. I'm giving you a mixed message. And that's one of the things that happens. So I would say it's how you're sharing that information. If it's coming up at a time where it's like, ooh, this is not the right time to be bringing that up versus it's a teachable, coachable moment. Because if you don't know the person, how you go sit there and say, oh, I'm in love, well, you don't know nothing about this person. You don't know their likes. You don't know their dislikes. You don't know their triggers. How do you even know? And a lot of times people don't like to hear. I've heard men say, I don't like to hear about other people, other men. But you might learn something, and you might, and this is one of the things I saw on Facebook a while ago. When a woman tells you about her ex, she's telling you so you won't make the same mistake. But if she's already comparing it like you have done it, that's a whole different conversation. What's your take on that?
Yeah. I've been in situations just like that, you know, where I've been with women that, you know, they talk about their ex a lot, you know, or their exes, you know, and yeah, my ex, my son's daddy used to do this, and then my daughter's daddy used to do that, and then my other daughter's daddy used to do that, you know, you know, kind of thing, you know. And I'm like, why are we even talking about your kids' daddies and stuff? We're supposed to be having dinner, you know.
How do you redirect the conversation? Because I can be somewhere and they can have a conversation with me about their ex. And like I said, it depends on the content of the information. That may not even bother me. I may not take it personal if it's not personal. But if they're comparing me to where, well, you just like so-and-so. Or so-and-so, and I'm like, wait a minute, hold up, my name is Jeanette, I'm not so-and-so. So I would say it has a lot to do with, now, if the person is constantly bringing up their ex, I would wonder, are you still having some kind of feelings for this person? Because remember, love is a feeling, an action, all of that, and sometimes people will self-sabotage relationships. Or they will do it, and some people do it as a filibuster, just to talk about something. And that doesn't mean that the other person really want to hear that conversation, because they may want to know more about how you feel about them or where you're growing and going within your relationship, not a past relationship. Do that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm looking at something, and it says, to get a clear idea of the possibility of unconditional love, and the question reads, do you need unconditional love when looking for a soulmate? Because some people get their soulmate confused. Your soulmate might be your nightmare. But when we talk about soulmates, we talk about bonding, we talk about marrying a person, do you need unconditional love when looking for a soulmate? What do you think?
I don't need unconditional love like that. I like commitment. You know, commitment and love are not necessarily the same thing, but over time, it can turn into love. It's just like a soulmate. I don't believe in soulmates. I don't believe it like that. I believe a person can become your soulmate over time. I don't believe that nobody, I've heard that, you know, one person is meant for somebody else. I mean, suppose that your soulmate is on another part of the planet, you know, or if your soulmate dies, you know, then where are you going to be left, you know? So I believe that you get somebody that's compatible and they become your soulmate over time.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about soulmates and as your soulmate dies, it doesn't mean that someone else won't come into your life that may still be able to connect with you in areas of growth. Because it doesn't mean that just because, we're at an age now where, and it's sad to say, I can speak for myself. I got more people in my phone transition than probably that are alive. You know, sometimes I got to be mindful because I'm one that on Facebook, I will always, if it's somebody's birthday, I'll reach out, happy birthday. I don't know if they did or alive. You know, I remember one time I had a situation where I told somebody, happy birthday, and someone's daughter got in touch with me and said, my dad died 9 months ago. But thank you. I didn't know. So when we start talking about the mate and the soulmate and a helpmate, a lot of times people get all of this stuff confused. If we are marrying beneath or above or we're not compatible and there's no chemistry, we are jacking relationships up. And because we don't have the skills, we don't know any better. We don't know any better. For me to say that I did not know how to let a person love me until I was in my 50s, that is sad. It's very sad. Because I only knew what I saw in relationships with my mother and other women in my community and in my family, or what I saw on TV. Now, I used to think, when we talk about the Brady Bunch, the Brady Bunch was interesting because it was a blended family, which we learned about blended families that way. The Partridge Family, they had a death in the family. The daddy died, so they was on the road all the time. And then we had the Cosby Show. And let me start with the Jeffersons. Not only with the Jeffersons, with Good Time. They showed an unconditional love, but who, and I'm not saying some people live in the projects or against people that live, but everybody don't want to be poor living like that. Everybody, there were still some things, but they showed a different type of love. Their love was different. But then when we saw the Cosby Show was different because the Huxtables were professionals, but they kids still had issues, just like the kids on the Brady Bunch had issues. But when we looked at, and my girl, I love me some Felicia Rashad, when we look at Felicia Rashad and Bill Cosby's relationship, it still was dysfunctional. But they taught us how to resolve conflicts differently. They taught us that you don't have to fight. You don't have to, you know, you didn't see Bill Cosby socking Felicia Rashad in the eye or calling her the B word. Or we didn't see none of that on the Cosby Show. So, and they weren't poor. So they taught us a whole different concept of what love can actually look like within a family.
Yeah. And you also got to realize too, there's also like that kind of an image. Okay, you really didn't connect with a lot of urban people, especially black people. Okay, I hear a lot of people say, "Oh, them, that's fake people. Them people don't live. Black people don't live like that." You know, I mean, but upper scale black people do. Okay, so the Cosby Show exposed a segment of black folks that other black folks were not used to. It was a show back in the early 90s. I don't know if you remember. It was a show. Lorenz Tate was on the TV show. And it was called South Central.
I don't think I saw South Central with Lorenz Tate, but I did see a lot of his movies.
It was based in Crenshaw area. They even had a special thing on Oprah talking about it, how people was criticizing the show because they didn't believe they believed people were living too well in the Crenshaw district because it was very authentic. And people didn't believe people lived that good in South Central.
And you know, I'm gonna look that up because I don't remember a movie, a show with called South Central. But I'm thinking of Everybody Hates Chris and all these other different families and
It was a TV series. It only lasted about maybe 6 or 7 episodes because it got slammed and stuff and took it off.
It came out around the early 90s.
I think it was right before the riots.
Okay.
And right after the riots.
In most cases hate what we don't understand. And I use the Cosby Show because, like I said, they showed a different type of love. And, some people say, oh, the people don't do it. Some people do. And not only that, and we just took it to a whole other level when we start talking about different types of marriages, relationships, and families, because now you got biracial families to where they may be dealing with cultural issues. But my question was, do you need unconditional love when looking for a soulmate? And what it reads is, you might feel unconditional love for your partner, who you also think is your soulmate. However, when you eventually think about relationships in the long term, you might see how conditional and unconditional love overlap, even when it's your soulmate or when you guys are together. Because I love you. I can have love for you, but what I'm not going to let you do is treat me any kind of way or disrespect me. That ain't happening. I'll leave you alone. I will love you, and I'll walk away. I'm not going to, like I said, I forget about you, but I'm not going to entertain that. And it's like I heard to say, I love you, but I love me more. So a lot of times people think that people will leave you alone because they don't love you. But they may love you enough to say, you know what, this right here is not for me. I deserve better, and I'm moving on with my life. Don't mean I got any hate for you. Because what happens is that unconditional love you have for that person, once you start seeing things differently, can turn into resentment. It can turn into hate. Now, you can forgive a person, but just because I forgive you doesn't mean that I'm allowing you to continue to keep treating me the same way. Now, here are some things that it talks about, and I like how this reads. And it talks about unconditional love is a state of acceptance and self-care. Self-care is huge. And compassion. To find it, check out the following tips. You got to first accept yourself and your flaws. A lot of times people say, well, that's how I am, and I ain't going to never change. Yeah, but that don't mean I got to deal with all of that. And even if it's yourself. There are some things you do accept about yourself, but by that same token, you don't want to impose it or project it onto nobody else. Practice self-care and self-love. How can you expect somebody to love you that don't even love themselves? That's a form of mistreatment. Another thing is surround yourself with positive and supportive people. When people got love for you, they will normally show it. But then when I'm thinking of the song, the OJ's Backstabbers, Do you think that that person thought that that person was stabbing them in the back? Sometimes you could be married to somebody and be sleeping with the enemy because that person can't stand you. Another thing is let go of grudges and resentment. Cultivate gratitude and positivity. Focus on giving love rather than receiving love, which is the same thing people used to say about Christmas. But by that same token, you don't want to keep giving if the other person is not reciprocating or appreciating it. A lot of times we give to the wrong people. Or we gave so much and we felt like our well is dry. What's your take?
It's called sowing seed. It's called sowing seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, you want to give some, you know, to fertile ground. You don't want to throw seeds into, you know, stony ground, because stony ground is not going to grow. You know, so
mm-hmm.
you know, you're, you know, like you said, you're expecting reciprocation. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you're always giving and doing well for somebody, and they never giving it back. You know, and then you try to sit there and you talk to them and say, hey, you know, then they want to try to say you're pushing them. See,
mm-hmm.
and so you try not to do that, but you know, it's just the principle. They should be, you know, willing to come, you know, come back and, you know, and reciprocate, you know, give you back, you know, something. You know, it doesn't have to be the exact same equal value of whatever they did, but just
correct.
Something to show appreciation, you know? And,
you
know, so if they don't, then they already have a problem with that. That indicates that they don't have the same kind of feeling that you have. You know,
correct.
Their love is not as strong. See, and when I'm not talking about just in, you know, relationships, I'm talking about different types of relationships, like you were saying earlier about parent-child relationships, you know, or sibling relationships, or, you know, things of that
mm-hmm.
nature, you know. Family love, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
and
a lot
you
of
know
families,
what?
They don't know how to show love to their siblings or to their family members,
yep.
you know.
There's a lot of family members that don't like other family members. And the thing is, when you
mm-hmm.
say you don't like them, you may not like their behavior. Or it's like they said, you got the cousin that steal. You can't come on my house because you know you steal. You know, you would hope that they got enough respect not to do that. But people are who they are. And it's like I tell individuals, I can't even, I'm very cautious with the word love because you could tell the person anything, but you said you love me. You said you don't know how you may mess a person up by using that word. Or back in the day, it used to be, oh, you so cute. And next thing you know, she having sex with you because you said she was cute. Come on now. We got to do better. We got to do better. I tell an individual, how are you going to tell me you love me when you show me that you don't like me? Even in families. My son used to say, well, Mom, you can't pick and choose who you related to. My response used to be, but I can pick and choose who I associate myself with. If you don't like me, leave me alone. It don't bother me if you don't ever, 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 ever speak to me again. It don't bother me because I respect and I love myself enough to make sure that I keep everything around me that's within my control, positive, to where, like you say, growing. I don't want to invest in a bad investment. But sometimes you got to be careful with who you connect yourself with. You really do. I feel bad when I have to sit there as a therapist and watch and listen to couples that I know y'all shouldn't have never even spoke to each other. Or when you're dealing with individuals that may have mental health issues, addictions, and it's not about the person they with, that's their own stuff. But their own stuff get projected onto the next person, and it becomes a problem. Even in families, you got situations to where a person can die. And if the siblings haven't made peace with the passing of their parents, they may project that pain onto other family members because they haven't healed. And because the other person is gone, they'll take it out on other people. But then say, oh, I love them. No, you don't. No, you don't. You got to be honest. No, you don't. And it doesn't mean you got the right to say, my grandmother used to say, I can't take your likes to the bank. It doesn't mean you got the right to put them down and you know I don't like you. You know I don't. That's not necessary either. I want to share some examples, and it talks about what is an example of unconditional love. Some unconditional love examples with boundaries, because that's huge. With love should come respect. With love should come boundaries. I support you. I love you, but I think you're making a mistake. I love you, but I don't think that I can afford your expense anymore. My mother said about friends. She said friends are too expensive. Another one is, I can take your space if you want, but you should not speak to me this way. And another thing is, I love you, but you cannot try to threaten me or treat me any kind of way. And that's where I see a lot of times individuals get in trouble, is they think that they can just treat and talk to people any kind of way they want to. Now, when we start talking about these things, even with, it talks about if you want to know if your partner or significant loved one loves you unconditionally, it says watch out for these signs. If you want to give out love without conditions to someone, these points can also guide you about when someone loves you unconditionally. That's why I asked the question, how do you know if somebody loves you? Partly is watch how they treat you, watch how listen to what they say to you, when they're happy with you, and when they're upset with you. It's like I heard Cleo Dollar say, don't you marry nobody if you ain't never seen them when they was mad, because you don't know what you might be getting yourself into. So this is some of the ways you would know if they love you unconditionally. They understand you even when they may have a hard time convincing themselves. So I tell people this. Some things you may not understand, but just acknowledge. You may not understand why I'm upset. You may not understand why I do some of the things that I do. Hell, I might not even understand why I do some of the things I do. Just like when I was talking to my uncle yesterday, and he was just talking to me, he shared some things that made sense to me in regards to my mother's behavior when I was a kid. I was like, dang, I never knew that. That's why. So it makes sense. Another thing is when you know someone loves you, they are forgiving. Don't mean they forgot, but they're not going to hold on to it. They look past your flaws and do not expect you to be perfect. I tell people, I may not be perfect, but I'm good enough. Another thing is they share their vulnerabilities with you. They prioritize your needs. Disagreements or difficult conversations do not lead to fights, but solutions. They do not set any unrealistic expectations on you. A lot of times individuals will set expectations on people that they won't even do for themselves. They always show up no matter what. They are there for you even when they need help. And they offer you a sense of security and make you feel valued. If a person loves you unconditionally, it shouldn't hurt. It shouldn't make you feel like as if you're less than. Anything else you want to add to this conversation, Mr. Ed?
I think you pretty much covered everything I can think of at this point, at this time.
And see, here's the thing. When we talk about flaws, if I see something that I don't like or I hear something that bothered me, there's a way that you can approach it with the person without saying and making it seem like it's a flaw or they did something wrong. And when we talk about even forgiving someone, and I tell individuals the difference between saying I'm sorry versus saying I apologize, I will tell a person if they come at me and say I said something or done something, if it wasn't my intentions, I'll say, you know what, I apologize if that was not my intention to hurt you or harm you. But if I did it and I know I did it because you pissed me off, but I see that the reaction wasn't cool, I'll say, you know what, what I did, I did. And I apologize because I see how this is truly bothering you. But it's up to them. how they proceed next. That ain't on me. A lot of times when we talk about love, a stronghold, we want a person to make us feel a certain way. People really don't have that kind of power. They really don't. It's up to the individual. I tell individuals, it's not what a person do or say. It's how you react or respond. It's what's going to make a difference. And also the way we react and respond to love. Some individuals, when we start talking about love, we say, well, I want you, I want them to just love me. I want, but do you love yourself? Where are you going with this? You know, you can't place, or you can't, I'll say this, as we are aging, you got a lot of individuals, a lot of young men looking for a mama figure. You know, your girlfriend and your wife ain't supposed to be your mama. You got younger girls dating older men looking for a daddy figure. You should not have to parent or bully or try to do this to the person that you're with. It's not a healthy relationship. And that's not love. Not love. It gotta be based on respect, compassion, consideration. How you treat and how you talk to each other can also have a lot to do with how you grow amongst one another. You want your love to grow. I love to see families and people that have been married and been together for 30, 40, 50 years. I'd be like, wow. Sometimes they've been through some things. Some things wasn't necessary. And some areas they had to mature. And some areas they may have been forgiving or they worked through and change happened. But what is your take on that when you see individuals or hear people that have been married for many, many, many years?
In what way you mean, exactly?
When you hear a couple say, we've been married for 50 years, what are your thoughts?
Well, first thing I do is congratulate them. I have actually, you know, I've actually met couples like that, and I actually asked them, how they did it, And they basically all have the same answer. They basically say, well, we did have our highs and lows, but the thing that kept us together is that we both wanted it to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about that. When you got somebody that's going, one person's going one way and somebody going another way, it's not going to do very well. But if you both want it to work, then you'll find a way to make it work.
Correct. I tell individuals that with couples counseling, in order for couples counseling to be effective, you got to want to, a lot of times people come to couples counseling because they want the other person to be scolded. They want the other person, they want you, the therapist, sometimes to take sides to tell a person what the other person did was wrong. You, except you allowed it, you are putting yourself in this situation, and sometimes people want other people to get people out of get them out of things they put themselves into. So when I hear people say, I've been married for 50 years, I ask them too. What advice would you give some younger individuals? Because people now, Mr. Ed, they going into relationships with multiple partners, unrealistic expectations, childhood traumas, addictions, substance abuse issues, and they say they love each other. And I'd be like, this is a hot mess. I'm not being judgmental, but this is a hot mess. Heal yourself. In order to love and receive love, make sure you can give love back. And a lot of times individuals are investing and they're looking at, what was the song, Belle Biv DeVoe, Don't Trust a Big Button to Smile? Because you don't know what's from under all of that. You have no idea. I'm trying to think where I heard it or saw it. And no, it was a thing where a person called a radio show or something and said that, no, they called 911. And said that they just got married and they woke up and their wife is gone. The person that they was in the bed with, they didn't know who that was. The lady said, the dispatcher said, well, go look in the bathroom. What's in the bathroom? He told her. He said, well, sir, I hate to tell you, but that's your wife. Did you ever see her sleep before? No. Well, because you've never seen her sleep before, now you see what you just married. And I thought it was funny, but it wasn't funny because he said, we waited to marriage before we slept together, but I didn't know all of this stuff. So a lot of times we got to be more mindful before we start throwing out that four-letter word. We need to be more mindful of what we get ourselves into. Mr. Ed, any questions, comments, concerns you want to leave the listeners with? Because I know it's 3 o'clock and I got to get ready for my next therapy session. But what do you want to leave the listeners with?
Well, you pretty much covered it all this time. You know, any question I had, you pretty much covered it.
Okay. Well, again,
very good job. Very good job.
Unconditional. We want to get back to what's realistic, what's unrealistic. Love with boundaries. Love with respect. Self-love. Compassion, consideration. Don't tell somebody you love them when you know you don't even like them. A lot of times we mess up people's head or we toy and we play with people, and that can be dangerous, especially if individuals have experienced traumatic things or bad, unhealthy, toxic relationships. Heal before you jump back into another relationship with another person. So, again, I want to thank you for joining me here at Pressure Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. I know we got a whole lot of stuff coming up. I kind of missed talking about Mother's Day. I know we got Lupus Awareness Month being the month of May. It's a whole lot of stuff going on. We got Memorial Day weekend coming up. So I just want to say love thyself, and then you can also invest in pouring to others, but also do the same for yourself. When you talk about unconditional love, go back and define what that means to you before you start bringing somebody else in and they get confused because they may never have experienced that type of love before. You know, I remember a song, I Never Knew Love Like This Before, and I was like, dang, that's a deep song. You know, or I think of Diana Ross and the music that people made. Everything is changing, even how we view love. So, again, I want to thank you for joining me here at Pressure Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. If you have any topics you would like for me to discuss, you can call me on my office number at 714-992-1677, or you can email me at preciouspredicaments@gmail.com or jabneylmft@gmail.com. And I would love to either have you as a guest on the show, or if you would like to have me come speak at an event, give me a call or email me. Until next week, remember, you're blessed, and thank you for listening to the show. Thank you very much, Mr. Ed. You have enjoy the rest of your day.
You too now.
Okay, bye-bye.